a sermon entitled, Where Are You Going? When I was a young man, we used to go to Main Street. Main Street was 17th Street there in our hometown in California. We would go and we wouldn't go cruising, but I would go see those cruising around Main Street. We would start on J Street. J Street was there, amen, we're going from east to west. We would start on J Street and go to N Street, just cruising down 17th Street, which was Main Street. We would go around and around. And at that time, can I tell you, at that time, I thought that was the greatest thing, the best thing in life. You would meet up with your friends and you would go and see some good-looking lowrider cars. And they would be there going around cruising. Cruising was the thing to do when I was young. We would go there, amen, and that's what we would see. But we were not doing nothing, or the cars were not doing nothing but going around in a big circle. You would pass, amen, they would pass by you. We would sit there, amen, and we thought we were cool. We would be there, amen, and we would stash our little stash. And as they were going by, or as even girls would come by, we would invite them to come and join us. And the cars would go, and all they were doing was going in a big circle. We had no direction. We had no purpose. We were just killing time until it was time to go home. Too many people, to them, it would be a waste of time. But to us, it seemed very interesting and also entertaining. A big majority of Christians this morning are doing the same thing in their lives. They're just going around in a circle, wasting time until they go home. They're making the same turns, the turns that they've made their whole lives. You ask them what they're doing, and they'll tell you, I'm doing the same old, same old, same old, same old. In other words, what they are doing is nothing. All they're doing is killing time until they go home. Our text, Galatians 1, we're going to start in verse 13. Galatians 1, starting at verse 13, the Word of God says, For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me, amen, through his grace to reveal his son to me that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and I remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. After I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches, amen, the faith which he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God in me. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We ask you to help us, guide us. We give you praise and glory this morning. Let us be, God, people with purpose. Let us be, God, people that are headed into a place, God, not just going round and round this morning. Father, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. See, we can see Paul's story. Paul was a devout Jew. He had advanced further in the education than most of in his age. He was zealous. He was on fire for the Jewish way of life. He could not stand, amen, the church or what the church folks taught. In verse 13, it tells you and I, amen, verse 13, for you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism. I have persecuted the church of God beyond the measure and tried to destroy it. In other words, folks, he was there for one thing and one thing only, and that is to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. He entered, amen, Christians' homes. He dragged them out, amen. He stoned them, amen, and he also, amen, placed them in prison. We can say that you did not have a friend of Christians in Paul. Paul, amen, was no friend of believers. He hated everything that Christianity stood for. He tried to wipe out Christianity completely off the face of the earth. And then in verse 16, it says, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles. See here, amen, Paul says that Jesus was revealed to me. You can see in Acts 9, and you can have a more detailed experience of Paul's, amen, conversion. We all know, amen, the Damascus Road experience that Paul had. You can read that upon your own. When Jesus revealed himself to Paul, Paul was never the same man again. Paul came to know, amen, who Jesus really was, and Paul got saved. He began preaching the gospel message, amen, of Jesus Christ. Paul says, Jesus was revealed to him so that he can preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Gentiles, amen, were non-Jews. That's what you and I are. They were people that were not, amen, of the Jewish race. So can we say this morning that there was a drastic change in Paul's life? One day he's on his way to Damascus, on that Damascus road, amen, to persecute Christians. The next day, amen, hallelujah, he's preaching, he's knocking on people's doors. I want to let you know about Jesus Christ. I want to tell you about, amen, the mercies of God for your life. I want to, that's Paul, hide. No. I'm not here to kill you. I'm here to preach and tell you about Jesus. See, one day he's there to persecute. A few days later, he's on the streets preaching about the one that he tried to destroy. God had a purpose for Paul before Paul was ever born. Can I tell you this morning? That same purpose that God had for Paul, he has for you and I. And that's what Paul did, amen, for the rest of his life. From the moment that Paul got saved, amen, Paul preached the gospel. See, when things got tough in his life, Paul never returned to who he used to be. Paul ultimately died doing what, amen, he loved the most. And that was to tell people about Jesus Christ, to preach the gospel. See, most this morning, how many would say that we are not out there to kill people? We are not out there to destroy people's lives. We are not as bad as Paul. But one thing that all of us have in common is that before you and I were saved, we were all doing things against God. That was the common factor in every single one of us. Everyone this morning that says you are a Christian, can I tell you, in one way or another, you had your own Damascus Road experience. You had, amen, where God, amen, knocked you off your feet. Who are you? I am Jesus, the one that you are persecuting. Oh. Every single one of us this morning, we have had a Damascus Road experience. And when we met him, our lives, amen, just like Paul when he met Jesus, the moment that our lives came in contact with Jesus, our lives have never been the same again. Everyone here this morning, just like Paul, has a purpose. But you do not have a copycat purpose from one person to the other. You have your own purpose that God has for your life. Three things this morning. First, is we need to think about where we came from. See, there's an old saying that says, don't forget where you came from where you came from. This is a saying, amen. This is a saying people tell others who might be on the tail end of bigger things to come. When someone finds success, they are told, don't forget where you come from. In other words, to remember who they were. You know, I constantly see young men that now get multi-million dollar, contracts, that they came from a place, where they didn't have a lot. And the very first thing that people tell them, don't forget where you came from. Don't let all that money now get to your head. Can I tell you, Christian? Don't forget where you came from. Don't let nothing get to our head. See, we are blessed this morning, but we know that it has not always been that way. We were once lost, and yet we didn't even know it. We were once under the wrath of God and ready to bust hell wide open. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, where would you and I be today? Where would you be today if God had not touched your life? Have you ever asked yourself that? Where would I be if my mind had not been changed or altered of the way that I used to think? See, the world this morning is full of people who are where you once were. And can I tell you, it's not a pretty sight. But yet, they live their lives in a way like if they don't care. They want nothing to do with Jesus or even nothing to do with the church. But this morning, don't forget where you came from, because the only thing that is different between you and them is the fact, listen to me, amen, the fact that Jesus is now part of your life. My brothers, they constantly tell me, you're just like us. Can I tell them? I tell them the main important thing and the most important thing. I'm not, because I surrendered my life to Jesus 27 years ago. And who I was, you now can bear witness that I am not that same person, but yet you're still stuck in that same place. And I don't do that to belittle them. I do that to let them know that the man that I am today, folks, is not the man that I used to be before I met Jesus Christ. See, you were just like them. But somebody cared enough to be able to knock on your heart and tell you, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. See, as you look at people this morning, when you see people like Jesus sees, remember this. Think about where you came from. Secondly, this morning, you need to think about what God has done for you. See, you are not who you used to be. You are blood stained, born again, Holy Spirit filled. You were saved, folks, from who you used to be. See, no matter where you were, amen, whether you were from the ghetto or the high rise, you are now saved. And God, amen, selected you. Imagine 8 million people in this world and God selected you. He selected you, amen, to be able to show you his grace and his mercy. He showed you his forgiveness and he showed you eternal life. You were lost and dying in your sin, but God had a plan for you. When you were born, amen, he set that plan into motion. All of life circumstances, all the turns you made, amen, were to get you, amen, on God's GPS to lead your life to where he is taking you. See, this morning, we need to see and think what God has truly done for us. Because how many know this morning that we can simply say, Pastor, I've been saved for 10 years and I don't know what God has done for me. Pastor, I've been saved for 15, 20 years. I've been saved for 2 weeks. Pastor, I don't know what God has done for me. See, we need to be able to see and think that he has truly done great and mighty things. And can I tell you? And more to come. Because God is not done. Thirdly, think about where you are going. See, as you and I look back at our lives, if God did all that he, amen, did, he has to have a purpose for your life. If all that he wanted, amen, was for you to be saved, he could have already have taken your life and sent you home. But he left you here. Ask yourself, for what? See, there must be more to God's plan for your life than you to just get saved and go to heaven. Ask yourself this morning, am I, like most Christians, just going around like I used to do when I was a young teenage kid, just going around and around, seeing the same people. Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Going around and around and around. God has great things for you, folks. Ask yourself why. See, we cannot just be making the same turns. The same turns that we've made all our lives. We cannot just walk without having a direction or a purpose in our lives. Pastor, all I want to do is just live my life, kill time until I go home. But why are you here this morning? Has that question ever crossed our minds? Does God have a bigger purpose for me? A bigger thing for my life than I know right now? If God has big plans for my life before I was born, God, I want to know those plans. Paul says, my purpose was to preach to the Gentiles. See, my purpose was to preach the gospel to his church. So how do you and I this morning find out what God's purpose for our lives is? I'm glad you asked. Number one, you find yourself immersed, amen, into the Word of God. Secondly, you pray about things more than just, amen, the things that you want. How many know that that's hard to pray because we want a lot of things? We pray, God, what is your will? God, what is your purpose for my life? And then after you pray these things, you put yourself in a position to be used by God. You stop, seeking the material things, the things that your flesh wants, and then you start seeking the things, that your spirit is seeking. Can I tell you, the things that your flesh desires and the things that your spirit desires are always going at war against one another. So we have to be able, this morning, to stop seeking those material things of the flesh and begin to seek the spiritual things that our spirit is desiring. And we can start this morning as we close. You can stand up, before God and everyone else here this morning and start seeking God's purpose, plan, and will for your life. You have to settle in your heart, God, not my will, but your will be done. Have you settled that? Have you settled in your heart, God, whatever you desire, not what I desire. There's a move that is entitled, I am second. You know why? Because you can't be first. I'm sorry. You cannot be first. That's God. God, what do you want? You know why a lot of people don't ask God, what do you want? Because he's going to tell you. And you don't want to hear what God has to say. So that's why you will come. You will live your life. Listen, and can I tell you, God bless you. But are we going to be satisfied with just wanting to go home? Is that our main objective? Or while you are here, could we seek God's plan and will until we go home? Paul said, my purpose is to preach the gospel. See, Paul didn't just settle and say, God, you saved me, now take me home. He preached until the very end, and he said, I've finished the race. In other words, I'm offering myself as a drink offering unto you, God. God, I've done everything I've done. Whenever you want, you take me home. But until that moment, I'm going to preach, and I'm going to preach the gospel. Will you commit yourself? And when you commit yourself, will you be faithful to your commitment. See, we cannot just say it. We got to be about it. Amen? Can I tell you, I've had a lot of people tell me, Pastor, somos hermanos. We're blood brothers. We're together. And then all of a sudden, it breaks apart. Where are you at? Oh, Pastor, you know, I got a lot of things I got to do. Pastor, my life has changed since we did that commitment. But see, you don't make it with me, folks. You make it with God. And when we make it with God, when you get mad at me, you can't break that commitment because you made it with God. We cannot just say it. We have to be about it. Settle in your heart. Settle in your heart this morning. And say, God, whatever you want for my life, here I am. Use me. Let me have every head bowed and every eye closed. Amen. See, we are here for a greater purpose this morning, folks. God didn't just save us to warm up a seat. Well, that seat already has my name. Can I tell you? Yes, that is wonderful. God, we are glory bound to heaven. But while God leaves you here on earth, you have a purpose. God has a plan for your life. There is God's will for you, folks. Paul said, when I came and Jesus revealed his son to me, he said, he revealed himself to me that I might preach amongst the Gentiles. I didn't go and ask for permission from everybody else. What do you think God's will is for my life? God revealed it to him. God brought it onto his life. Can I tell you this morning? God has a purpose for you this morning. In the same purpose that God saved Paul, that same purpose, God wants to save you if you're not saved this morning. Maybe you are here this morning and you're not saved, or maybe you're backslidden. God wants to use and save you, or he wants to save you and then use you to touch Gentiles. Gentiles are non-believers. People that are away from God. And God would see fit to use your life. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. Maybe you're here this morning and you are not right with God. You were once saved, but can we be honest, folks? You're not right with God, but you need to be. It starts by you lifting up your hand and you saying, I am second. I need you to be first in my life. Is that you this morning? Would you lift up your hand? Amen. Would you lift up your hand? Folks, let me speak to you this morning. Have we settled in our hearts? God, whatever you want for my life, here I am. Use me. Use me. Use me for whatever purpose, because your plans are good and they're not evil. They are to give me a future and a hope. God has beautiful things for you. He has beautiful things. And it includes taking you to places where you have never been before, not just going around in a circle. The place of familiarity, the place of comfort. See, when you go around and around, you get comfortable. You get familiar. Can God remove you from your familiarity and put you in a place and have you do things that are outside of your box? The altar is open this morning. Settle it with God. Bring it before God this morning. Come, the altar is open. You want to come and pray before God? God, here is my life. Use me. God, here is my life. Whatever, God, I cannot get comfortable. I cannot get familiar. I cannot get in any way. God, I need you. God, I need you. Where are you going? The reason why I entitled that is because sometimes we just go around and do nothing for God. When God has called us to do great and mighty things that we do not know or think or have thought of. But God's graceful and merciful, God's graceful and merciful, that God would touch our lives. That God would move. That God would move, folks. That God would use our lives. That God would touch our lives. And that God would use us. Isn't that amazing? Let's sing that song. Worthy is your name, Jesus, Lamb of God. Worthy is your name. Let's give God glory. Amen.